Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's message is a portion of the gospel lesson where we hear these words. When John, who was in prison, heard about the work of Christ, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is coming, or should we look for someone else?" "Go," Jesus answered them, "tell John what you hear and see. Blind people see, and those who are lame are walking. Lepers are made clean, and deaf people hear. Those who were dead are raised, and the poor hear the gospel. And blessed is anyone who does not stumble in his evaluation of me." These are the words of our text. John's had it pretty rough lately. He finds himself in prison. And the place where Herod imprisoned John the Baptist was in the middle of the hot, scorching desert. It was hot. It was miserable. And John was expecting that the vengeance that he had proclaimed will be taking place. Last week we heard John's message at the Jordan, and he spoke about an axe being at the root ready to cut down the tree. John had spoken about judgment, and he had spoken about the vengeance of God. But he isn't seeing any of that happening. Why hasn't the Messiah, the Savior, brought his justice and his judgment and his vengeance to bear against Herod or against the Roman oppressors? And so John is beginning to wonder here now about whether or not Jesus is the Christ, or if someone else is coming yet that they should be watching for. I suppose when we consider John's question, it makes us maybe a little bit uncomfortable. How would you react, or how would you feel, if the voice of God in your midst said, "I'm having some doubts. I'm doing some questioning"? You might be a bit concerned. You might even begin questioning perhaps the reliability of that individual. If we look at the prophets as the spokespeople, the spokesmen of God. We look at Elijah and Elisha and Samuel and Moses, and we see them as tough, rugged men who know what they're talking about and go forth without any doubts whatsoever. But we forget that Moses had his doubts in the beginning, didn't he? "Why are you sending me to the Egyptians? Isn't there somebody else more qualified to go?" Or what about Elijah? He's having doubts about that meeting on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and he's having second thoughts about all of those events and calling down fire and the prophets killing themselves, and now Jezebel's after him. "Oh, if I'd have just kept my mouth shut, maybe things would be going better for me." And now in our gospel reading, we see John imprisoned, the forerunner of the Christ, the one who has heralded him, who has prepared the way for him, and now he's having second thoughts about whether or not Jesus is the Savior, is the Christ. Maybe that makes you a little uneasy. It probably makes me a little bit uneasy. And it can make us all uneasy if we simply look at the outward appearance of what is being told here. And immediately our minds might say, well, John was not believing. But that's not what the word suggests. John was in that delicate spot between faith and unbelief. He's in that gray area where you and I find ourselves many times, don't we? As we question what God's Word says. As we try to apply His Word to our lives. Those promises that are beyond our mind's comprehension and understanding sometimes cause us to wonder and to doubt. I remember one time sitting in church, much like all of you are, and I was probably either a senior in high school or a freshman in college. And I remember sitting in church on a Sunday morning like any other Sunday morning, and suddenly the pastor's voice sounded like Miss Offmore in the Peanuts cartoons. And I sat there thinking to myself, well, now how do I know that what the pastor's up there saying is really true? How can I trust him? I was caught in that moment of doubt and of questioning. It wasn't that I had lost faith as much as it was that my faith was being stretched, that my faith was being exercised. But now the question was, as our Lord says to Peter, or asks of Peter, who do you say that I am? And at some point in all of our lives, we have to be confronted with that question. And we have to answer it for ourselves. And as with Peter, only by the working of the Holy Spirit can we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We may want to be very hard upon John the Baptist. Well, after all, you're his cousin. You should know if he's the Christ or not. You're a prophet of God. You should know for sure. And many a time someone has come to me and said, well, Pastor, you should know. You should know for sure because you're the pastor. And sometimes I'm struggling and questioning just as much as you are, because we live in a very gray world. Oh, that it was always black and white. But it isn't. But let's not be too hard on John. Because John has an understanding of who the Christ would be. And John, like so many prophets before him, has a problem that you and I don't have. The problem of the prophet is that he sees everything that God holds out before their eyes. The way I like to illustrate it is if I had a whole handful of transparencies in my hand, and we had a screen and an overhead projector here, and I laid those transparencies on that overhead projector and turned on the light, and it was shining on the screen, and I asked you, now, I want you to put into chronological order which screen, which transparency is first and second, third, fourth, fifth, on up. We have a hard time doing that because on the screen they all look like they're one big mess of whatever I would have on those transparencies. And the prophecies, all of the things that God's promises and plans for the future hold. But he doesn't necessarily see them chronologically. And sometimes the prophet, human as he is, may zero in on one particular thing. Just like a pastor may focus in on one particular thing, sometimes to the exclusion of all the rest of God's counsel to us. And for John in particular, his focus is on that vengeance and that righteousness and that judgment, because he's been preaching fire and brimstone along the Jordan, and he's talking about this axe that ready's to drop. Now it's not happening, but it's coming. It's coming. Jesus knows that. And so the answer he gives to John is to bring John back to that stack of transparencies, if you will. Let's go back, John. Let's go back to Isaiah. And let's look at what Isaiah had to say, that the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the dead would be raised, and the good news would be preached to those who are held captive. The good news of God's kingdom to those who are in bondage to sin. That's what Jesus' answer is that he gives back to John. Yes, John, I'm the Savior, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ. And all of these signs point to that reality, that truth. But don't stumble in your estimation of me. Don't let your own personal agenda for the Savior cause you to stumble and lose your faith. Yes, John, that day of vengeance is going to come. That day of God's justice and judgment will come. But for now, I've come as a Savior. I've come to preach that good news of salvation to those who are held captive to their sin. To give sight and hearing to the deaf and the blind. Not just physical sight and hearing, but spiritual sight and hearing. And to raise up those who are dead. Not just those who are physically dead, but those who are spiritually dead. Because, John, my time here now is going to lead me to a cross. And there I'm going to suffer and die. And I'm going to take my Father's judgments against the whole world, and they're going to be visited upon me. And yes, John, that axe is ready to fall, and that day of vengeance will come. But not now. Now I come as a Savior. And yet, further into the future, will I come as a judge. And in that answer, and in those words, and in those actions of our Lord Jesus, we see God's grace and God's mercy. The patience that James talked about in our epistle lesson. For who of us would be ready to withstand that day of God's judgment if our Lord Jesus had not first come to bring God's kingdom of grace into our midst, to proclaim God's favor to us, to give us His word and His promise, to feed us on His sacrament, to strengthen us in our faith in Jesus as our Savior, even in our times of doubting, our times when our faith is stretched to the limits and we really wonder if all of those promises that God gives us in Jesus are for real. And like Paul, we're reminded again by our faith and by the working of the Holy Spirit that those promises to us are all yes in Jesus Christ. And He enables us to stand then. Not only to stand in that day of judgment, but also to stand in the here and the now. As we struggle in that grayness of life with God's Word and the world around us, in our own sin, struggling to cling to that faith that God has given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. What kind of a Savior are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Are you looking for the one who comes to take away your sin? A Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who goes to a cross and suffers and dies and rises again to to reassure us and to give us that forgiveness and that everlasting life, and who will come again, as we confess in the Creed, to judge the living and the dead? Or are we looking for some personal Savior who is going to save us from all the hard things in our life, to be the one who's going to heal us of our diseases, who's going to make our finances all rosy? We're wanting a Jesus who's going to be our best friend and our buddy, or our coach. What kind of preconceived notion do we have about Jesus? He'll come to us again and say, "That's a part of it, but I'm really your Savior from sin and from death, and the one who leads you to everlasting life." There are times when I want a Savior who is much different than the Savior that Jesus is. I'm sure there are times when you also look for a Savior that is different from Jesus. And there are times when we hear in the media and read in print of a Savior who is different than Jesus. And he reminds us again of who he is and what he's come to do and what he's coming for to accomplish again. And he offers to you and I that same promise that he gave to John. And blessed is the one who does not stumble in his estimation of me. May our eyes of faith ever look to the Jesus who dies on the cross of Calvary, is risen again and ascended to heaven, and who one day will come again to judge the living and the dead. And when he returns, may we be found able to stand, not because of our own doing, but because of his grace and his mercy that he has worked in us, to believe in him as the Savior of the world, the Savior from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. May God grant that to us until his return. Amen.